In the spring of 2016, the people of my home planet, Kerber Verschlagen, decided to conduct an experiment. Three humans from the planet Earth, Dan, Mike, and Jesse, were abducted. In order to study their culture, we forced them to discuss a highly varied selection of topics ranging from pop culture to the paranormal. We are beginning to regret this. Welcome to Podcast 1289. Experiment 008, The Ghoul Room, Fistful of Quarters. Joining Dan, Mike, and Jesse today are Rob and Dylan.
And I have served Elijah Wood three times at my restaurant. Like, so much so that he recognizes me, he gives me a hug.
And that's awesome!
Awesome!
That's so cool!
I want a hug from Frodo.
But like, the other day, like, the last time he came in, his brother always comes in with him as well, who's a really cool dude also. And I was standing off to the side, and I just hear someone shout, "Hey, are you going to be our server again tonight?" And I look over, and I didn't recognize him at first. And I was like, "Oh, no, man, I'm back waiting tonight, sorry, but I'll see ya." He's like, "All right, cool."
Oh, that's cool. You can dine out on that. Hey, I got a shout-out from Elijah Wood's brother.
And then it clicked on me. I was like, "Oh, shit, I know who that was." So I ran into the lounge where they all were.
Elijah Wood's brother, wait! Wait, Elijah Wood's brother!
As soon as they all saw me, like, "Hey, Dan, what's up?" I'm like, "This is cool."
I kind of wish I met a celebrity. I've never met a celebrity in person.
Working in restaurants has really brought me into, like, I've met some pretty cool celebrities, but I've seen a lot more. I got to meet Johnny Rotten at Balena, as well as, of all people, Mr. Roger Waters. He was dining, and I wasn't working that table. I was working a party downstairs, and I found out that he was up there, so I, like, ran upstairs to get something. I just, like, peed. I'm like, "Holy shit, that's Roger Waters," and went back to work. And then, like, 45 minutes go by. I'm running all around, and I turn this blind corner and run right into it. And I'm like, "Oh, shit, I'm sorry. And it's fucking Roger Waters standing right in front of me. He's like, "Oh, that's all right, man. How's your night going?" I was like, I'm busy. And then I, like, just – I broke. I was like, "I'm never going to have a chance to say this, but thank you for the wall, man." And he, like, shook my hand. He was like, "Thank you." And then we went on our way.
And he washed it as hard as he could. He was scrubbing that. He had, like, a pumice stone in his breast pocket of his jacket.
Roger Waters looks like an alternative version of Steve Buscemi. If he had, like, an alternate, like, a Don Juan alter ego.
Speaking of fucked up movies, any of you seen Last House on Dead End Street?
No. Is that like Last House on the Left?
It is incredibly similar to Last House on the Left. In fact, it's kind of the same thing, really. Ex-con, he kidnaps four strangers, he films their murders in an abandoned building. It's an exploitation movie. The guy who directed it was a man named Roger Watkins. And he directed several exploitation movies and a lot of porn movies as well, active from the mid-70s to the late 80s. And I know this guy. He's dead at the moment. He died 2007. I think...
Dude, Roger Watkins looks like that kid from Stranger Things.
Yeah, he's really weird. I believe he died in a car accident, possibly alcohol-induced. I forget exactly. But anyway, I know him because he was my cousin's babysitter, and he used to show my uncle his scripts for his movies. So imagine that you've employed a local guy as your babysitter. You find out that he's a filmmaker, and you ask him, "Oh, well, what sort of movies do you make?"
Is a Pruder film?
So it's a Pruder.
Shut up, Dylan!
I kind of sort of feel like Donald Trump really sort of wants to nuke something.
He's that, like, was the first thing he asked.
Realistically, though, in your head, if you became president, what are the first thing in your head besides, "Are there aliens? Where are the keys to the nukes?"
It's like a really awesome house that's furnished and you don't know what's there. And there's, like, a bowling alley and a fucking arcade and an ice rink and a fucking nuclear missile silo. It's awesome.
Did you just say nuclear?
Yeah.
You've been in Texas too fucking long, boy.
How do you say it?
Nuclear. That's how it's pronounced.
That's what I said, nuclear.
You think, like, when Bush got into the White House, like, and he was like, "Okay, now the nuke codes," and they hand him, like, the keys to the switchboard, he just, like, jumped back in a ninja pose, just kind of, like, holding the keys up, like, showing the Secret Service, like, "All right, now don't anybody make any sudden moves. Mm-hmm. I got the nukes now, and I want free chocolate milk Friday." That won't be necessary, Mr. President. We can get you anything. There is a fully staffed kitchen downstairs. You got Bosco?
I'd have to think that if they gave me that button, then it would just be really gross. Sir, please, sir, stop masturbating. But it's just so beautiful. Power.
Look me in the eye, Joe Biden. Look me in the eye.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Podcast 1289. I'm one of your many hosts. I'm Jesse. Today, we've got Dan in the house.
Hey, everybody.
We've got Classic Mike. What the fuck was that? Did you just get, like, some T-virus or something?
Oh, going hard with the video game reference.
Did Captain Trips just get you? What the fuck?
I need a Ricola.
You sound like you could use a lozenge. You don't sound well. And also, we've got back with us two of our new regular guests. We got Dylan.
It's truth. I am here.
That was biblical.
Been reading a lot of biblical, actually, the past couple days.
We also have with us, we've got Rob back in the house.
Hey, guys.
All right.
Well, yeah, the plan was, I thought, that Rob and I would tell a couple of spooky stories to
We got some spooky stories? Are these...
So our listeners get to know you a little bit better. This is sort of like a blind date, if you will.
Okay.
But so, Rob, would you like to go first, or shall I?
I've got two different ones. I've got one, like, actual kind of ghost story, because the house I grew up in was over 100 years old, and, like, just there's always weird shit going on in it. But I also have a story where me and my friends in high school went to a place from Weird New Jersey and attempted to taunt ghosts for a few hours.
That's a great idea.
It was fun. Clinton Road.
We should probably explain to people that have not, like, seen World's Most Haunted 3 on Travel Channel. Yeah. I was watching that on Halloween. It's in World's Most Haunted. Not one, not two, but we made three. But for those of you who are listening that did not grow up in New Jersey, Clinton Road is a road in West Milford, New Jersey. It's a two-lane blacktop. It's about 9 miles long. And it goes through almost straight wilderness. The Iceman killer, Richard Kuklinski, he used to dump his bodies there.
Oh!
Oh, you didn't know that, Rob?
No, I knew about, like, the wildlife sanctuary that had been near there.
Yeah.
Jungle habitat. They went belly up and just released all the fucking animals into the woods.
It's actually where we put our schizophrenic tigers. You can't use them.
Fortunately, thanks to the repealing the Affordable Care Act, we cannot pay for their medication, so they're loose, and they've missed their meds by a couple of weeks. So they may have developed the ability to use knives.
But yeah, another part of Clinton Road is there are supposedly anything from roving gangs of satanic cults, witch covens, and the Ku Klux Klan.
So the one story we had heard the two we had heard the most about were the Jeep and the ghost boy at the, like, the 90-degree bridge. So,
oh, with the quarter?
One where if you throw the quarter in. Mm-hmm. So the way the story goes is you're supposedly, if you throw a quarter into the water at the fucking 90-degree bridge, that is a miracle of fucking civil engineering, frankly. Mm-hmm. I say that with no sarcasm at all. And
no, we have very, like, if there's one thing New Jersey excels at, it's, hey, we got to put a creepy bridge in the middle of the woods. Like, well, you could do one, like, we got over Gravity Hill. Oh, Gravity Hill, what's that like? Well, if you're in the middle of the woods, these really creepy woods, if you turn your car off, your car will continue to move upward, so you think there's ghost kids pushing you. That is really creepy. Wow, what else you got? Well, we got this one bridge we can put in here. This is called Kill Yourself Bridge. Oh, why is it called Kill Yourself Bridge? Well, it's in the middle of this creepy woods and a bunch of people spray painted Kill Yourself on it. It's
also partly owned by Bam Margera.
Yeah, do you have anything else? Anything a little different? Well, we got Crybaby Bridge. Oh, I don't know if I want to know about this. Why is it, humor me, why is it called Crybaby Bridge? Oh, well, we put this creepy bridge in the middle of the woods, and unwed mothers come and just, they drown their kids. It's kind of like the beginning of Batman Returns, but a lot more depressing, because the kid dies. A lot sooner, the Penguin died in Batman Returns as well, but the kid died before he could
grow up and become a deformed villain.
I feel like the closing deal on the contract in New Jersey Bridges means it has to have some sort of fucking tragedy involved with it.
You have a level of lethality or it can't be built there.
Like, but, I'm sorry, you're not zoned for this suspension bridge. Why? Because a white woman wasn't raped and thrown over the side, so...
So, it's me, my friend George, who I have so many stories about George. So, it was me, him, George's friend Adrian, whose nickname was Steroids.
Adrian!
George's girlfriend Sam, who was like a proto-hipster? You know, like that girl in high school who had like the fucking jet black hair and like the fucking pale skin and was always like dressed up in like fucking like heels and shit like that.
There was a girl like that in high school, but she had hepatitis.
That's very unfortunate.
So we went out there, and the rumor at this fucking 90 degree absurd bridge is that if you throw a coin off of the bridge, the little boy who got hit by a car picking a coin out of the road will throw it back up from the water and you'll get hit by a ghost car. So we brought a whole fucking roll of quarters. Adrian grabs a literal fistful of them and starts screaming, "Throw it back, you little bitch!"
That's disrespectful.
And Sam, she was utterly fucking terrified, so she was, like, sitting in the car. I got back in because I was tired of goddamn mosquitoes chewing me up. I knew George was, like, flicking fucking quarters onto the roof to mess with her. So, like a dumbass, I just put my shirt over my head and I pop out from behind the seat shouting, "Rawr, Headless Horseman!" And it was the most completely non-sequitur thing, but she screams at me and then assaulted me.
As she should have.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm mad at you, I'm just disappointed.
At the end of Clinton Road, supposedly, like, there's this all-black Jeep that just, like, follows you, and supposedly it's a ghost car, but it's fucking not a ghost car. We actually saw it. There's like a really wealthy ass community on the far side of that road, and I think that's like private security for them or something.
That's fucking New Jersey. Fucking, like, if you live in West Milford, New Jersey, you are not important enough to have private security. No one cares.
If there's money, there's someone who will do the fucking job.
I never heard about the Jeep. I always heard about it was a pickup truck, and that it was... One version of the story was that it was a spectral pickup truck, and the other version of the story that I heard was it was driven by the Klan.
I've never been to Clinton Road. Do you think Uber would, like, take you through there?
Uber will take you anywhere, man.
Yeah.
That's a movie right there. The Haunted Uber Drive.
So anyway, you probably heard a story very similar to this before. It's not terribly uncommon. I don't know about you, but when I was a little kid, I used to stay up real late. In my room, just, you know, messing around, reading. The stuff that usual, you know, you kids do, you stay up late. And so my sleep patterns were not the healthiest. And one night, I remember I had been reading about some sort of, you know, book of the occult. Because I was really interested in that kind of stuff as a kid.
Oh, hell yeah. Hail Satan.
Absolutely. It was probably, like, Simon's Necronomicon, which is, like, looking back, like, such nonsense.
It's horseshit. The Necronomicon was invented by...
Lovecraft, exactly. Yeah, and the one that, like, they have out now that is actually, like, it's all, like, Lovecraft-esque is really cool. But that one is just, like, a mishmash of Sumerian mythologies that it's just a bunch of babble, kind of. It's not even really all that interesting to read. But I was a little kid. I had found this dusty old book in my aunt's collection. You know, it was a creepy thing as a kid. So one night, as I'm reading this or something like that, trying to fall asleep. It's really hard. Eventually, I do go to sleep. And it feels like only moments later. But I get the sense that someone is in the room with me. Like, someone or something, and I'm absolutely horrified. I don't know what it is. Like, I can't hear anything. Like, I can't hear things moving around. I can't tell if my eyes are open or not. And I can't move. And I understand that, like, I should be breathing fast, and, like, my heart should be pounding. And I can't tell if it is, because it's, like, a sensation is essentially removed. And I can eventually start, I find that I can see. And I see my room. And my room had, like, it was right by a major street, boulevard. So there was a lot of light coming in from outside, and it cast everything in, like, an orange and blue light in my mind, anyway. And I see, clear as day, right, like, standing over my bed is this incredibly tall person. Like, it was far too tall to be my mom or dad. And it looked, I had a sense of a woman wearing, like, a white dress, being very pale and either having like a covering over her head or like silvery white hair. And I wanted to scream, but I couldn't. I couldn't move. I couldn't even tell if I was breathing. And it just kept going on. And the entire time, my heart seems like it's pounding. I'm screaming at myself to try and get up, to try to say something, so to let someone know that there's someone in the room with me. And then suddenly, like, light went out. I could move. I shot up in bed, and there was absolutely nothing there. And the feeling of someone being in the room immediately started to recede, and I was absolutely horrified. But I had no idea what it was that I had seen, but I know that I had seen it.
Literally erect with fear.
And it's happened to me a few more times, and I now know what it is. Have you guys ever had something like that happen, though?
Yeah.
I have not, personally.
Oh, luckily enough, but I probably will tonight, thanks.
Ah, you're welcome. But it is, apparently, it is called sleep paralysis. And it is, as far as people know, because we don't really know all that much for sure about sleep and how it affects the mind and why we need it. But apparently, the theory goes that if you wake up during rapid eye movement sleep, which is like the deepest phase of sleep, and that's where you dream, if you wake up during that time, instead of going through like gradually backing out of it and rising into consciousness, if you just suddenly wake up for some reason, basically that was what happens. Like, your body is awake, but your mind doesn't know that your body's awake, so you can't move. Your time perception is still what it's like in dreams, so it's really like an instant will feel like a minute. And apparently, when people, like, I've actually had a few different versions of this, because sometimes people report seeing almost exactly what I had seen. Tall figure, dressed in white, usually a woman. Or they will say shadow people.
Yes.
Which is where that seems to come from. And some people just say there's a threatening presence. And I've actually seen all three over the years. Not fun, because you're gripped by paralyzing pure fear. But it is essentially harmless. Happens too often, though, then you're looking at probably there's something wrong with your sleep cycle, because it really isn't supposed to be happening. But that is most likely where legends about succubi and vampires attacking people in the night came from.
So how did you get it to stop?
It feels like you're in this, like, paralyzed state for a long time. It's really probably only a couple seconds, and it will just sort of come out eventually, and, like, you'll just suddenly be awake. I've actually had it wherein, the last time I had it, I realized that that was what was going on. Like, this is, it's a trick, it's not really there. And I was able to kind of, like, rouse myself out of it. But I only was able to do it in, like, waves, so I kept, like, falling in and out of this paralyzed with fear state. No fun.
What if it's, like, an alternate dimension, and you could, like, lucid dream in that? Like, wake up in the sleep paralysis dimension and see all the crazy shit.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
Oh, it'd be like the Upside Down.
Yeah, or Silent Hill.
That's what it is. That's you almost going there.
We would be like a great Monster Squad kind of team. Like, where do you...
Who would be the first to die?
You.
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably not. No, none of us would. None of us would. We're all talented. That's why we'd be like the Monster Squad. But, like, where do you think we would fare better? The Upside Down or Silent Hill?
Upside Down.
Oh, shit.
Because Silent Hill, like, the Upside Down is, like, that's a static level of difficulty. Like, it's rough, but, like, it's not going to fluctuate in accordance with who you are. Silent Hill.
Yeah, the Upside Down doesn't have Pyramid Head.
Yeah.
Silent Hill is as bad a place as you make it.
Now let's come to our final segment. Rob, you got another story?
Yeah. The house I grew up in, I grew up in Cliffside Park, New Jersey. It's right outside New York City. A lot of mob activity in that town. Like, holy shit. We had the same mayor for 54 years.
Wasn't there a parking lot or a mall that was under construction for that same amount of time, too?
No, but there, up until this last year, when they finally started building it again, there was, like, a crater that was originally going to be a construction project that they
tore. That's right.
It took them from 2008 to 2016 to start being able to build again. It was pretty entertaining. But I say that because, like, I don't know exactly why the fuck my house is so creepy, but I also feel like some mob shit may have been done in it, because we found, like, just baseball bats with, like, weird fucking brown flecks on them in the back of the garage. The guy who owned the place was a crotchety old Italian man, and we lived, like, my entire childhood up the street from an actual leg breaker for the mob.
Is that one of the prerequisites for being in the mob, is a crotchety Italian man?
It's pretty damn close, I feel like. The house...
Goddamn, you guys always with the fucking water, using the water, goddammit, I'm gonna put a fucking...
Pretty much. Except Mike was really nice to us. He had settled the fuck down, but there was all kinds of weird shit like that.
I'm sorry, but can you guys tear me apart for that horrible fucking bomb I did? Because I feel like I deserve a really fucking terrible, like this is a rabbit for how fucking shitty I fucked up that joke.
I was just gonna, my insult was gonna be just moving on like I didn't hear you say anything.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about, to be honest.
Wasn't that bad, you know.
It wasn't a joke.
I've heard worse.
I didn't even finish it. Too high for this.
I feel it. So there was always, like, creepy shit in the house. It was like, a 100-year-old house that they had modified a couple of times, and the room I slept in when I was really little just never sat right with me, and not, like, just as a kid, like, into adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
It was they basically took what had been an outdoor porch and made it into a room.
So you had, like, windows on three sides?
No, I had one big-ass bay window that you could never entirely close, so the room was always fucking drafty.
Yeah, I was about to say, a room like that would not have proper insulation.
No, and there was a giant, consistent cold spot, like, my whole life, in the fucking closet next to my bed. And I don't mean, like, some of the time, I mean literally every day, no matter what the weather was, it was always 20 degrees cooler in that one room.
I bet that was awesome when it was, like, summertime.
Oh yeah, no, I hid all of my toys in there and shit, I would go hang out in there.
Hell yeah, ghost spot. Cool me off.
Ghost spot! The room just, like, never sat right with me, and I remember being, like, 4 or 5. It was the middle of the fucking night, and I had these two things happen, like, back-to-back on me. Mm-hmm. One night, I just kind of came to, and I think I was probably in that, like, sleep paralysis kind of sleep, but, like, my dad's wool blanket that he had from when he was a kid was just floating on the opposite side of the room. Mm-hmm. And I asked my parents about it the next day, like, if anyone had been in my room, because I woke up with the blanket on me. And they're like, no, we thought you just had that in there. I sure fucking didn't, guys. I don't even remember getting that. Then, like, the fucking next night, I was really into Gargoyles as a kid.
The cartoon?
Yeah, man.
Second time Keith David's come up on the show.
What a show we run. Go on.
So, like, I had, like, a little toy from there with, what's his name, the leader, in, like, the block of stone. It was, like, the little Burger King toy where you would spin it and it would open up.
What?
It was, like, a little toy from Burger King where you, like, you push the button and the little, it was, like, a little rock.
It spun and there was something in the center that would spark, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I had one that was the Death Star. It was rad.
Dude, those things are such great toys. But, like, I don't know if it, like, fell open or something. But it was under my bed, and I had the fucking visage of that gargoyle just lit up from under my bed, like, horns and everything, for, like, fucking hours. And, like, in that room, ever since then, I've always, like, fucking seen shit in there. Like, I would turn, and it would look like there was someone sitting in a chair. My next bedroom was, like, right next to it, and I had a mirror that reflected into it, and when I wasn't looking, like, right at people, I would see someone sitting in the chair and shit.
Mm.
It was just, the whole house was fucking uncomfortable, and I think part of the reason, we had a room called the Ghoul Room.
The Ghoul Room?
Yeah!
Is that the name of the last Misfits album?
That should have been the name of this fucking podcast!
God damn it!
One of the first times I went to your house, you showed me the Ghoul Room, I think.
What the Ghoul Room was it was the room directly underneath that fucking bedroom I had when I was a little kid. At one point, a bunch of, like, fucking frat boy college douchebags had lived in the basement apartment of my house. And just, like, graffiti dumb shit in the one room in the unfinished basement, like Igor and a spider web and give blood to vampires. But when you're 5, that shit is unbelievably spooky.
Yeah, I'd say so.
It was always utterly terrifying to have to go down there because that was also, like, the cold storage room. So just, I don't know why, but that room has just never fucking sat right with me. They're not really, like, great fucking ghost stories. I haven't, like, had a specter scream at me or some shit.
You have better ghost stories than me. I mean, the most I can say is I saw what might have been a ghost in the other room and a haunted freaking Beavis and Butthead figure.
Wait, what?
That would fucking...
What?
There's a, I had a Beavis and Butthead figure that, like would say stuff because it was, like, it had, like, one of those, like, battery voice things in them.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, it was only supposed to, like, turn on when you pressed it. Like, there was a little button that would make it say stuff. But every once in a while, it would just say shit, like, out of, like, nowhere. Like, you wouldn't have to touch it. It would be, like, 3 o'clock in the morning. You just hear, this sucks.
My cousin Jenna had a fucking Furby like that.
Oh, yeah, my sister's Furby did the same thing.
These things are fucking terrible.
You ever light a Furby on fire?
I've seen videos of it. That shit is rad.
Yeah.